This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد I'm just going to share my PowerPoint. I think this should be a more practical presentation with some slides. So let's just get started with that. Okay, alhamdulillah. So firstly, I want to thank you all for joining me on a Sunday afternoon. Right, it's for many of us, this is our family time, this is our resting time. It's the only time of the week where many people get a break from life and from stress of work. And the fact that you are here to attend a webinar about homeschooling shows that you have a concern for your children and you have a concern for their future. And this is a good sign. This is a good start. This shows that you're in the right place to learn about the right topic. So thank you all for taking out your time today to join us. And I hope you're going to find this presentation beneficial. And of course, before we begin, we make dua for our brothers and sisters in Palestine, that Allah eases their suffering and grants them victory and makes a way out for them soon. That is on the top of all of our minds. That is our number one concern at the moment. But nonetheless, we have to also focus on our education of our children, because as you will see from this presentation, our children are the future. Our children are the future. And if we start now with a strong foundation, then inshallah, that future could be brighter. They could be capable of doing more for this ummah than we are, inshallah. So today's presentation is called Raising Pious Muslims, 10 Compelling Reasons for Islamic Homeschooling. Now, before I get into the 10 reasons, just a short background of how I got into homeschooling and why, and that will give you a bit of the glimpse at some of the reasons that I'm going to cover. So my journey into homeschooling was not straightforward. There were many bumps along the way. There are many different routes that I considered first. In my own life, when I was in school, my mother was not happy with the environment of school. And so when I was 13 years old, she encouraged me to leave school and pursue the Alimiya program instead. And I continued schooling from home while doing the Alimiya program. And I completed both around the same time. Right. So in 2006, I completed the Alimiya program. And in 2007, I completed my high school. And then I did university online as well. But then eventually I got married, I had my own children. And at that point, I had been a school teacher for 2 years and I had dropped out. And I kind of lost faith in the school system. Right. Just 2 years of teaching in school made me lose faith in the school system. And I was worried for my own kids, like, how am I going to educate them? What am I going to do? I'm not happy with what's available. And just like you are doing now, I, about 12 years ago, attended a webinar on homeschooling by someone who eventually became my mentor on homeschooling. And that webinar blew my mind. It was the first time I ever heard about these reasons and these methodologies of homeschooling. And I said, this sounds workable. This sounds reasonable. This sounds like something we can do. And my wife and I decided to give it a try. And now, you know, more than 12 years later, two of my kids are on the verge of graduating. They're all homeschooled all the way, alhamdulillah. And when we look at our teenagers and the people they're growing into, and we look at how their iman and their adab and their akhlaq has been shaped, we can only say, alhamdulillah, we made the right choice. And I'm hoping that today's presentation will help you to make a similar choice for what's best for your children. And I want to start by getting into what is homeschooling. It's a very broad term, right? It doesn't refer to just one methodology of education. Homeschooling, in the broadest sense, means that the parents take the lead in how their children are educated, and the majority of education takes place at home. But this does not mean that there's one way to do it. There's actually far more methodologies of homeschooling than there are methodologies of actual schooling. Because what you will find, and this is one of the 10 compelling reasons we're going to get into, is that homeschooling is very flexible. It's a very flexible system. It puts the power and control back in your hands. And that means you can be creative. You can think out of the box. You could invent an entire new method of education that others didn't think about before. This puts the power in your hands. And this makes it something that a lot of people today are in desperate need of. A lot of people today feel powerless with the school system, right? A lot of people feel like if I put my child in school, they're going to be brainwashed. They're going to be force-fed liberalism and hedonism and LGBTQ and all of these things. How do I protect them, yet still allow them to grow up in a way that they are able to contribute to society and get a good job? And homeschooling allows you to do this, to be able to achieve all of these goals. So there are many different methods of homeschooling, right? The most common is school at home, that you essentially replicate the school system and the school curriculum, and you do it at home. And this is what most parents do, that they will have a room in their house that's dedicated to be the school, and they will have dedicated hours, and they'll do math and English and science and Arabic, and they will have it like a school system at home with mom and dad as the teachers. Those who can afford it, they may go into private tuition, where you will hire someone to come home and teach your children, right? This is the classical way of the kings of the past. When you study the lives of royalty, you'll find that they never went to school. They'd have private tutors come home and teach them whatever they needed to learn in order to become the next great leader. So private tuition is another method of homeschooling. I know some families where instead of sending their children to school, they would hire someone whose full-time job is just to teach their children, to come to their home and teach their children. Now we have online schooling, right? Which is what my older children are doing at the moment, which is there are Islamic online schools that you can enroll in, where your child can be at home all the time, but they can study through the internet. They can take the exams on the internet. They can graduate in a regular way. These are registered schools, accredited schools with proper examinations and certificates, but they don't ever have to leave the home. They can do everything while at home. So one of the things I'm going to explain a bit later is that when it comes to homeschooling, you don't have to stick to one system for life. You can always change up whenever you feel something's not working, or if you feel like your children are in a different phase of life and they need to try something different, right? So I've tried many of these different approaches at different points in my children's life. Another type of homeschooling is self-directed learning, where the children initiate. They decide what subjects they're interested in, what careers they want to take, what they want to pursue, and they choose their subjects accordingly and they study accordingly. So, you know, these are different methodologies. And of course, cottage schools also count as homeschooling. And what this is for example, just say you have a neighborhood in which there's like five families that want to homeschool, but the parents are busy. One of them has the time. So all the kids go to that house and that parent, she homeschools everyone's kids. So this becomes like a little school at home, right? Where about five or six kids from different families study together. So this is another type of homeschooling. I've seen this in some Muslim countries where the Muslims who have migrated from the West into a Muslim country, if their kids don't know the local language, it's easier for them to form cottage schools so that children can study in English, right? So the main point I wanted to get out of this slide is, number one, there's no singular definition of homeschooling, aside from the fact that the parents are in control and the bulk of the education takes place at home. Beyond that, there are many different methodologies to explore and to try. So if you are someone who feels that school is a waste of time, school is a brainwashing facility, school is taking your children away from you, right? School is breeding atheism and hedonism and zina and all of this, and you're looking for alternatives, homeschooling doesn't just open the door to one alternative. It opens the doors to many alternatives. And this is where the true value of homeschooling lies, that you now have the freedom to decide and to realize that, hold on, there's more than one way to do things. I'm not limited in my choices. There are many choices. Allah has given us control to be able to make these choices. Now, a point to note before we jump into today's main topic, note that there are legalities around homeschooling. Different countries and different states have their own rules on what's allowed and what's not allowed. There are some countries where homeschooling is completely illegal. So please ensure that before you embark on this journey, that you do your research. Ask locals about the homeschooling. Find out from your government what's the policies, what's the procedure, and make sure that you are working within the bounds of what is legal so that there's no trouble for you and your family, right? And again, I can't give you any advice on that topic because that really changes from country to country and state to state. So please do that research before jumping into homeschooling. Okay, so our main topic today, I want to share with you 10 reasons why I believe homeschooling is the future and why I believe that with our current list of options, homeschooling is the best option for Muslims, right? And I want to make a couple of disclaimers first. Disclaimer number one, homeschooling is not easy. Homeschooling is not easy. In fact, I feel it's probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It requires a lot of time, a lot of patience. You're going to have to learn a lot. You're going to have to be around the kids all the time. It is not easy. But it's an investment. It is hands-on parenting. It is something that you're only going to see the benefits of 10, 20, 30 years down the line. So you have to be prepared for the fact that this is not easy. Anything worth doing is not easy. And that includes homeschooling. Disclaimer number two, not everybody can homeschool. Not everybody can homeschool, right? Some don't have the time. Some don't have the skills. Some are living in countries where it's not legal. So this isn't for everyone. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. It's the best option for those who are able to do it. But if you're not able to do it, you should go to the second best option, right? Number three, when we talk about the benefits of homeschooling, we are not demeaning or putting down Islamic schools at all. No, rather, I believe that Islamic schools are the second best option, right? Islamic schools are the second best option after homeschooling, which means that if you are unable to homeschool, the best thing you can do is put your child in an Islamic school. And also Islamic schools are of different levels in terms of the quality of teachers, who the board of directors are, how much emphasis they put on the Islamic studies, what their budget is. So some Islamic schools are better than others, and some of them may even be better than homeschooling, right? Again, that depends where you live and what options are available to you. So I'm not talking about homeschooling versus Islamic school. I don't want to put these two against each other. Rather, these are two separate solutions for the same problem. Rather, we are looking at homeschooling versus putting your children into an un-Islamic environment to study. Sending your six-year-old, your five-year-old, your seven-year-old to a public school or a private school where it is essentially the kuffar who are educating them and where they're learning about LGBTQ and they're learning about the freedom to commit zina and they're learning about atheism and how religion is backwards, and they are not equipped yet to deal with this. They are too young. Their minds are not formed yet. They are not ready to handle this, right? So this is what we are talking about. That if your option is public school or homeschooling, then you need to figure out a way to do homeschooling because this is what is best for your children to such an extent that some of my teachers said that if you are living in a non-Muslim country, some of them actually believe that it's haram to send your children to a public school. In fact, some of them call it spiritual suicide. Right now, I don't agree with the fatwa. I don't believe it's haram, but I understand the logic. I understand the logic, right? That it's spiritual suicide You're killing your child's iman by dumping a six-year-old into an environment of kufr for 13 years, where the kuffar have more say in what your child learns than you do. You are essentially killing their iman. You are sending them into a battlefield before they are armed and ready to fight. That's what you are doing when you put a 5, 6, or 7-year-old into a public school environment. So, why should you homeschool? Let's go to 10 reasons, and we have about 25 minutes. That should be enough time to go through our 10 reasons. Reason number one, to fulfill the amana of parenting. Now, I want every parent to listen to this point carefully. Parenting in Islam is an amana. It is a trust. Allah will ask you on the day of judgment about how you raised your children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you on the day of judgment about how you raised your children, about how you educated your children. Now, once they grow up and they make their own choices, you are not responsible for that. But you are responsible for everything you did to that point. So, as a Muslim parent, you need to think about what is the best way that I can fulfill the trust of parenting. And I don't think it's putting your child into a public school. Yeah, you could send them to an Islamic school. That's one way to fulfill the amana of parenting. You could put them into afternoon Islamic classes. You could send them to school in the daytime and teach them Islam yourself in the afternoons. But I personally believe the best way to know that you 100% gave it your all, that you went all in with parenting, is to homeschool. Because when you homeschool, you are now the primary teacher. You are now the one who is shaping their worldview, and we'll get to that in point two, number two. You are the one who knows the child's weaknesses, who knows the child's strengths, who knows who their friends are, who knows what direction their life is heading in. Your children are not strangers in your home. You know them and they know you. And you now have an opportunity to do the best job you can at parenting. And once your children grow up and leave the home, your job is done. But while they are with you, you want to do the best job possible. So the question every parent has to ask themselves is, what is the best way for me to fulfill the trust of parenting, which is the trust of tarbiyah, of raising my children properly? And for many of us, the answer will be to homeschool. Yes, for some people, there'll be other answers, but for many of us, this is the best way forward. Number two, to shape their worldview. When your child goes to school and they spend 13 years of their life in that school is shaping the way they think. That school is shaping their mind to think in terms of hedonism, in terms of hyper-individualism, in terms of liberalism, in terms of feminism, in terms of pro-LGBTQ. And then one day, when you tell your child, this is haram, they're like, how can it be haram? You know, everyone's doing it. How can it be haram? The school said that these people are oppressed. Now, there's a clash. You have a completely different worldview from your children. Why? Because you took a sponge and you put it in that school for 13 years and expected it not to absorb everything around it. While they are in the school, understand that schools do not just teach English and maths and science. No, anyone can teach those things. You can teach a thing. That's the point of homeschooling. Anyone can teach those subjects. What schools do is they push out propaganda. They push out their worldview. They want people to come out of the system believing what they believe. This is what a school does. They want people to come out of a system believing what they believe. Now, if it's an Islamic school, inshallah, they come out of there believing in Islam. If it's homeschooling, they come out believing what you believe. But if you put them into a pro-LGBTQ, feminist, liberal, hyper-individualist public school, guess what? There's a 90% chance they're going to come out exactly like the factory that's shaping them. So if you want your children to have an Islamic worldview, you cannot just be dumping them into an un-Islamic environment and expecting everything to be okay. You need to be hands-on with the parenting and education. You need to be teaching them about the purpose of life, about our primary sources, the Quran and Sunnah, about how Muslims view the world in terms of our responsibility. That inni ja'ilun fi ardi khalifa, Allah created us as khalifa, as representatives of Allah on earth, that we have taklif, we are responsible, morally responsible for how we live our lives, that we are answerable to Allah, that morality comes from Allah. You have to shape all of this. And it's not something you can do in a day. You can't have once a week of Islamic studies and the rest of the week of them being brainwashed by other people and think that's going to balance it out. Now, if you really want your children to view the world through the lens of Islam, you have to play a more hands-on role in how you educate them. And this is why homeschooling becomes very crucial. Homeschooling allows you to dictate and to the education in terms of how they view the world. That if you want to protect them from these forces, from these incorrect ideologies, especially in the early years, especially when their minds are formative, at that point in time, homeschooling is the best way to shape how they are going to view everything around them. And you want them to view the world through the lens of Islam, through the purpose of life, through a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through understanding that morality comes from Allah, to understanding that Quran and Sunnah are our primary sources, to understanding that the Sahaba were the best of generations. All of these points that I just mentioned, the public school system teaches the complete opposite. So if you want to give them a correct worldview, homeschooling is one of your best options, right? Number three is to ensure a proper tarbiyah. So do you want your children to have the morals and the manners and the character of Islam or of other cultures? Think about this, right? Akhlaq wa adab. Where is your child learning it? How is your child learning it? For me, when I teach people to homeschool, one of the primary things that I focus on, especially in the early years, is I say, teach them adab before ilm. Have you heard about the saying, right? There's the saying amongst the early Muslims, teach them adab before ilm. I take that saying and I turn it into my homeschooling methodology. That if you are homeschooling your children, teach them adab before ilm. And what I mean by this is when your child is 4, 5, 6 years old, the Islamic studies curriculum should be primary adab wa akhlaq. Primarily adab wa akhlaq. Shape their tarbiyah at the youngest age possible. Then once they have the adab of a Muslim, once they have the akhlaq of a Muslim, now you can go into fiqh and aqidah and tafsir and hadith and all the other things, but the adab wa akhlaq has to come first. Very often in the modern curriculums, there's almost never a study of adab wa akhlaq. Like this subject is, it's not there, right? And then we wonder, like, the children pick up the worst of character from their friends at school. How do we counter this? Teach them adab before ilm. We need to go back to the methodology of the early Muslims of teaching adab first. This should be the beginning of the education process. Now, it's difficult to do this if they're going to school. If you're homeschooling, you have flexibility. So you could make this a primary subject, right? Number four, to form strong bonds with your children. One of the biggest complaints that I hear from parents today is that we have, you know, like they have no relationship with the children. It's as if the parents and the children are strangers in the home, right? The kids are at school, mom and dad are at work. They come home. Maybe they have one meal together, but they don't really converse with each other. They don't really have a connection with each other. They're strange. They don't even know what's going on in each other's lives. Some children don't even know what work their parents do. Some parents don't even know who their children's friends are or what they're learning at school. There's like complete strangers. Homeschooling fixes this because I have yet to meet a homeschooling family that does not have a strong family bond. Every homeschooling family I know, there is this deep muhabba, deep, deep love between the parents and children because they are together throughout the day. They are there for each other. You know, the children get to witness the parents' lives. Like, if your children are at school and there's some kind of trial going on in your life, they don't get to witness it. They don't get to be a part of it. They might not even know it's happening. But when they homeschool, you end up dealing with it together as a family. And this helps to build bonds together. When mom or dad is the primary educator, this builds stronger bonds. When you know your child so well that you know which subjects they are good at, which subjects they are weak at, what their personal weaknesses are. When you know all of these different things about them, then there is going to be a stronger bond. You're going to spend more time together. You're going to get to know each other better. You're going to, inshallah, through this, have more love for each other. And those bonds of love, they last a lifetime. That this is really the foundation upon which a strong family is built. Number five. Now, this is the reason that a lot of people choose to homeschool. I didn't put it at number one. I put it as number five because it should not be the primary reason, but it's an understandable and an important reason. And that is to protect your children from bad influences. Now, when I was younger, bad influences meant friends, right? Now, bad influences aren't just friends. It's the school itself. That we're living in a time where the school itself has become a negative influence. Now, how do you protect your children from bad influence? There's two extremes here in how parents think. One extreme is that, oh, my children can handle it. I'll send them to school, they'll figure it out on their own. So basically, you are gambling with your children's iman. That's what you are doing. If you say that, oh, they can figure it out on their own, I'll just send them to school. You are gambling with their iman. You're taking a roll of the dice. Maybe they'll stand up and be strong and be the outspoken voice in their school. Or maybe they'll want to fit in and be a cool kid and believe what everybody else is believing. That's a huge gamble. The other extreme is to shelter them so much that they cannot interact with the world at all. And this is the fear that people have when they hear about homeschooling, right? This is the negative stereotype that is attached to homeschooling. That when people hear about homeschooling, they assume that you are going to cut your child off from the world in such a manner that they can't deal with the world. And I have seen this, not very often, maybe only one or two cases I've actually dealt with like this, but I have seen it once or twice. And this is not how most people homeschool. And this is not how I homeschool, and this is not how I would advise you to homeschool. Homeschooling is not about over-sheltering your child to a level that they cannot interact with the world. Homeschooling is about gradually preparing them for the world. So the idea that your six-year-old is ready to handle all of the propaganda from atheists and LGBTQ and the sexual revolution and feminism, the idea that your six-year-old's ready to handle all of that is ridiculous. But hold on, what if you take it step by step? What if while homeschooling, every year, you introduce your child to one or two ideologies and explain why they are wrong? So by the time they are 12, 13, 14 years old, they are informed about the world. And they understand the world, and they understand what's going on, and they know how to talk to people, and they know how to do dawah, and they know how to interact with people. So it's not about cutting them off from the world. It's about gradually preparing them for the world, right? So when we say we want to protect our children from bad influences, we are not saying to shelter them to such a level that they cannot deal with the world. We are simply saying a six-year-old is not ready for this. So let's gradually educate them in such a way that by the time they are 12, 13, or 14, they are ready to deal with this. And that is the method of homeschooling that I use and that I advise other parents to use as well. That you are preparing your child for the world. You are preparing them to handle bad influences and to be the one doing dawah, not the one to whom dawah is being done, so that they are able to deal with the world properly. Because understand, as parents, it is your job to protect your children from evil and to prepare them to be able to do dawah to others and to interact with others, right? So you have to find this balance. And I really believe that this extreme of just throwing a child in there and expecting them to figure it out for themselves, it's just taking too big a chance. That's what it is. It's taking too big a chance. Okay, so we have about five more things to go to. Link to the topic of protecting them from bad influences is the importance of preparing them for the real world. And homeschooling allows you to prepare your child for the world in ways that school does not. Now, when you look at the modern school system, one of the complaints that a lot of people who go to school or who graduate from school have is that school did not prepare them for life in any way, right? School did not teach them the skills they need to actually succeed in the real world. A school teaches you about getting good grades, right? About not working with others, about sitting quietly, right? School is all about coming out first in class and getting good grades. It's all about following the rules, working independently. It's not preparing you for the real world. So someone graduates from school and suddenly they need to pay rent, they need to pay taxes, they need to find a job, they need to be responsible for their lives and for other people's lives. And many people feel overwhelmed. And that's why nowadays we have problems like the man-child problem. We have problems like people have to go for adulting classes because they don't know how to be an adult because school didn't prepare them for life. But what if you planned ahead and you say, hold on, I want my kids to be ready for life? So, number one, you do the Islamic thing. What's the Islamic thing? Yeah, the Islamic thing is that you understand that when your child hits puberty, he or she is now an adult, and you raise them accordingly. Right? What does the school do? The school treats them as children right until they graduate. So if you take a look at grade 11 and 12 students, they physically look like adults. They talk like adults. They think like adults. But their parents and the school and the government treat them like children. Islamically, those are adults. But they are now confused because their body is telling them they are adults, but the school is telling them that they are children. And this creates a very unhealthy environment. And it can cause a lot of confusion, and it can cause some people to never grow up, to be stuck in that phase of where they physically feel like an adult, but they mentally feel like children. They can be stuck in that phase for a long time. The Islamic way is that when you are educating your children and raising your children, you do it with the goal in mind that when my child attains puberty, they will be adults in the sight of Allah. I will treat them like adults. I will expect them to behave like adults, right? I'll expect them to grow up quickly. So what you will find is that homeschool children tend to mature faster. They tend to be much more mature than other children their own age, right? Like if I look at my own kids, my 12-year-old daughter, she can cook, she can clean, she can take care of a house, she wears hijab, she's able to do all of that already. She can run a home by herself by age 12, right? My 14-year-old, 15-year-old son, I can leave them home alone for a couple nights. They can take care of themselves. They know how to cook basic stuff. They know how to keep a house clean. They can defend themselves. They have weapons. They've learned martial arts. They know how to look after themselves and look after a home and look after a family. So I can actually trust my children to be home alone because they are very mature for their age, because we raise them in this way, right? And you compare that nowadays to some people who are 21 or 22 and still behave like little kids and can't do anything for themselves. It's a problem. It's a major problem. Homeschooling allows you to prepare your children for the real world, to teach them real world skills. Right, you can actually teach your children to cook. Like my wife started teaching all my kids, my sons and daughters, how to use the kitchen when they were like 8 or 9 years old. Right, they all can prepare their own meals now. You can teach them about other things that the schools don't teach. So like we'll come to this a bit later, but the topic of financial management. How do you make money? How do you invest? How do you save? How do you stay away from debts? These type of things you're not going to learn in school. You have the ability to teach it to your kids through homeschooling. So you want to prepare them for the world. And when it comes to the bad influences, you want to prepare your children to have a strong knowledge of Islam, a strong practice of Islam, and you want them to have a da'i-like mindset, that they are doing da'wah to others, right? Instead of being the, because remember, in this world, if you are not doing da'wah to others, they are doing da'wah to you. If you are not calling people towards righteousness, they may be pulling you towards sin. So you want to raise them to be du'at. You also want to raise them to be responsible and mature. And you also want to raise them to be able to work hard and to earn well. So homeschooling allows you to do this. And to do this, number seven, homeschooling lets you have a balanced approach to education. So you can decide how much your child learns of each subject. Because in some schools, there's like only emphasis on math and science, but there's no real emphasis on life skills, on finances, on history, on religion, on manners, on character. You can now shape the curriculum as you want. And that takes us to point number eight. You have a flexible schedule and a flexible education method. A flexible schedule, right? One of the things that I can't stand about school, and one of the reasons why I probably wouldn't even want my kids to go to school, is the idea of waking up early in the morning and sitting in traffic every day for 13 to 15 years just to drop your kids off in that building where you know they're going to get brainwashed, right? Just sitting in traffic like that every morning. You don't need that. You don't. You can homeschool your kids. Guess what? Your kids can wake up at 8 a.m. and start school at 9 a.m., right? Who's going to stop you from doing that? You have flexible times. You can do things your own way, your own time. You're going to take a vacation in the middle of the year and just travel with your kids for 2 or 3 months. Guess what? You can do that. No one's going to stop you. You now have freedom. This is one of the most amazing things about homeschooling. You have a level of freedom that other families don't. If you feel like you just want to spend the day outdoors, you can do it. You can drop everything and just go to the park with the kids. So you have flexibility. You have flexibility with your time. You have flexibility with how you teach them. If you feel a certain method of education is not working with one of your kids, you can try a dozen other methods until you figure out what works for them. Maybe along the way, you'll invent an entirely new system of education. Who knows? But the point is, you're not stuck. You're not stuck with specific subjects. You're not stuck with specific styles of teaching. You're not stuck with a schedule that you have to be out of the house at 6 a.m. and pick the kids up at 2:30 p.m. You have the power. You have control. You can do things your way, right? And this is something that is liberating for many Muslims and for many people who may previously feel like, you know, there's only one way to live life, to do what everybody else is doing. Number nine is that you can focus on the subjects that the schools overlook. So I mentioned, for example, finances. Schools don't teach your children about finances, right? History. I spent a lot of time with my kids teaching them history, and not just Muslim history. Alhamdulillah, I've taught them as much as I can about Muslim history, right? But also about like the history of Europe, the history of World War I and World War II. Right now, I'm teaching them as because they're teenagers. Now I'm teaching them about the sexual revolution and how that impacted the West and you know all of the harms that came out of that. So you can teach them about subjects that the schools are not going to cover at all, right? Adab wa akhlaq, manners and good character, your Islamic studies. You can teach them another thing I taught them was entrepreneurship, how to start a business, how to build a business. So you now can fill in the gaps. You can fill in the gaps. If you feel like, I wish I learned certain things in school, guess what? Your kids can. You can teach it to them. And if you don't know how to teach it to them, they can do an online course on the topic. They could watch a YouTube series on the topic. They could read a book on the topic, right? The point is, you're not limited. You're not limited to just the school subjects. You can expand way beyond that into things that are much more important and relevant to you and your family. And this, to me, is like the main, most important benefit that I got out of homeschooling. That my kids were not limited in what they learned, that they were able to learn things at a young age that others could not, right? And so at a very young age, my kids learned how to invest and how to save and how to build up money and how to start a business. And they also learned Islamic history and they also learned about the history of the modern world and they learned how to do da'wah and all of these things that they're not going to learn in school. They were able to learn it because We were in control of our time and our education method and our subjects. Finally, a reason for Muslims to homeschool is to produce leaders for the next generation. I want you to think about this, right? If we want the next generation to be better than us, if we want them to be leaders of the righteous, right? If we want them to be people who do things differently, we are not going to get that result by doing what everybody else does. If you're going to put them into the exact same system as everybody else is going through, you are going to produce a cookie cutter, copy and paste your new version of whatever everybody else is producing. There's not going to be anything different about them. Historically, whenever an amazing leader rose up amongst the Muslims, it always came from embracing a unique education method for that individual. And I'll end off with a couple of stories about this and then we'll open the floor to Q&A. For example, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who I've written an entire book about, he was the 8th Umayyad Khalif. He was a Umayyad prince. Why did he end up so different from the other Umayyad princes? Why was he not a rich, spoiled brat like the other Umayyad princes of that time? What made him so different? Right? What made him so different was when he was a little boy, his father was the governor of Medina. And his mother made sure he was studying with the Sahaba in Medina. Because the Sahaba, some of them were still alive, like 100 years old and stuff at that time. And she made sure that he spent time with them. And when his father was appointed to become the governor of Egypt, his mother made a very tough choice. She left her son in Medina and moved to Egypt with her husband, because she felt that Medina was a better education environment for her son than Egypt. And so he grew up in Medina, being raised by the Sahaba instead of his parents. So instead of growing up as royalty, instead of growing up in the palace, he grew up with the Sahaba and grew up to be a righteous person and became the greatest Khalifa of that generation, right? It was about his parents finding a completely unique method of education for him. We see this too with Imam Malik, Imam Ash-Shafi'i, with Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Bukhari. All of them have very unique stories of how they were educated. And what this shows us is that a unique education produces an extraordinary leader. But just doing what everybody else does is just going to produce what everybody else is producing. So if you are serious about raising children, you know, we make this dua, we say, وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, make us the leaders of the pious. If that's the dua we make for our children, right? We're serious about that dua. Then we need to start thinking out of the box. We need to start thinking of new education methods, extraordinary education methods, new subjects, new ways of teaching these subjects, so that our children will be empowered and equipped to lead the next generation rather than just being followers and just doing what everybody else does and believing what everybody else believes. They would be the ones to lead and to do da'wah and to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, we come to the end of my presentation. I hope you all found this beneficial. And for the remainder of the time, I will take some Q&A, inshallah. So there's a few questions here. I won't be able to take all of these. Some of these some of them should be answered more privately, but let's just start with this one because I actually answered this one. I'm not sure if they came late, but the question, what about Islamic schools, right? What about Islamic schools? I mentioned that in my opening statements, didn't I? I said this is not to put homeschooling against Islamic schools. For some people, if you have a good Islamic school in your community, then alhamdulillah, you can send them there. But not everybody has access to Islamic schools, and not every Islamic school is on the same level. Some don't have a good budget, some don't have good teachers, some are just Islamic in name. So you can't just put them all together, right? So I don't want to put homeschooling against Islamic school. I said this was homeschooling against public school, right? If you have a good Islamic school, alhamdulillah, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, here's a good question. What is a good age to start homeschooling your child? What is a good age to start homeschooling your children? My response to that is when your child feels ready. When your child feels ready, most likely at the age of 5, 6, or 7. Even if it's at 7, that's fine, right? That early phase of life between 0 and 5, where children can be carefree and just running around and playing and having fun, they're never going to get that phase of life back. And in the modern world, we push them into education too early. You know, I see people dropping 3-year-olds off at school and expecting them to memorize hadith and learn how to read. And I believe this is unnatural. Allah didn't create children to learn in this way. Until the age of 6 or 7, a child learns primarily to play. So let them play. Let them play and enjoy life at that age. You know, give them educational toys so they learn through the process. But let them play. Let them enjoy their lives. And then at the age of 5, 6, or 7, they'll start asking. They'll be like, "Mom, Dad, can you teach me something? You know, can I want to know how to read. I want to know how to do this." That's the age where you start with the actual formal education. But I would not recommend formal education younger than that unless you have a child who's like exceptional, right? But in general, 5, 6, or 7, or when they feel ready. Okay, Marshall, there's a lot of questions and a lot of beneficial questions. I'm not sure which order to take them in because a lot of you are asking really good questions. Okay, I'll take these two next. They're related to each other. How can working parents plan for homeschooling? So this is difficult, all right? This is difficult. I said in the beginning, not everybody can homeschool. There are ways. It depends what you're talking about here. I mean, if mom and dad are both overworked, and they're both already coming home tired and stressed out, and they don't have the time, to educate the children, then it's not going to work. Then it's better putting them in an Islamic school or something else. So if you have the money, maybe hire a private tutor. So I know one family here does that. Both parents work. So mom and dad just, they hire the private tutor to come home and teach their children every day. But they can afford it. Most of us can't afford a private tutor, right? It works out cheaper to send them to school. So it depends what you mean by working. When I teach this course, one of the advice that I give is that if dad is earning enough to support the family, then mom should make the sacrifice of being a stay-at-home mom and homeschooling the kids. That the best gift that a mom can give her children is her full-time time and attention. That's the best gift that she can give them. It's more valuable than any extra money that she can bring in. So if the mother is able to, and I know in some cases you can't, some cases you are completely dependent on both incomes, especially in the current economy. Now, honestly, for some people, it's not possible to homeschool just because of economic reasons. But this is my advice. If dad is earning enough, mom should make the sacrifice of being a stay-at-home mom and focusing on homeschooling. That's the best gift that she can give her children. But if both mom and dad are working, and they both have to work, and they have no choice but to work, then homeschooling might not always be possible. The one way is you could give them their work and then check on it when you come home. Well, you wouldn't be able to do that with very small kids, maybe if they're teenagers. Another way is a private tutor. Another way is to focus in the evenings or early mornings. But for many people, there is no way. For many people in that situation, they just can't do it. Okay, link to that. How do you homeschool as a single parent? It's the same, right? Same as what I mentioned before. Not everyone will be able to homeschool. And it's even harder for single parents than it is for married couples. Because honestly, homeschooling requires teamwork. It requires a lot of teamwork. It's going to be much harder to do on your own, especially if you're working. If you're like a single mom who's working and you're going to homeschool, I don't think most people have the emotional capacity to do that. Most of us will just have a breakdown. Like it's going to be too much. No human's meant to take on that much, right? So you have to look at what you are able to do as an individual and know your limits. And for some people, homeschooling just isn't possible. Now, if you're someone who works from home, If you're a single mom who works from home, then yes, you could be able to manage both. If you work short hours and you still have enough time at home, then you could manage both. But if you're a single parent who's working a full-time job or two jobs and you're already coming home tired and exhausted, then no, there's no way you're going to manage homeschooling as well in such a situation. And like I said, it's not something everybody is able to do. But I mean, Allah make things easy for us. I know it's being a single parent is not easy, right? It comes with its own challenges, and this is one of those challenges that sometimes you will not be able to do things that you want to do, like homeschooling, because it definitely requires support. They say it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child. Now imagine to homeschool a child. So may Allah make it easy for all of us. Okay, there's a lot of good questions. Let's see. Okay, here's a good one, right? In some countries, to get to college and university, you need traditional qualifications. How can we achieve this if children are homeschooled? In any country where homeschooling is legal, there are ways to get traditional qualifications through homeschooling, right? In every country where homeschooling is legal, there are ways to get your traditional qualifications through homeschooling. There are online schools, there are correspondence schools, there are 1 year grade 12 programs, there are online GEDs. There are many different options, right? Just research in your country what's available, because 90% chance if your country has made homeschooling legal, it has set up systems for homeschoolers to graduate and to get into college, right? You just need to figure out what is the system in your specific country. So for example, where I live, South Africa, there's multiple routes for homeschoolers to graduate. I did my high school from home, and I just went to a school to write my exams. But that was 20 years ago. I don't know if that system's still around. My kids are studying through an online school that is accredited, so they get the certificates through that school. A third method is we have a system in South Africa called the online GED, which means you can homeschool however you want for the first 11 or 12 years. And when your child is ready to graduate, there's a 1 year online program that they can do, which gives them their GED, which allows them to get into most universities around the world. So there are ways. There are lots of ways. Just see what's available in your local community. Okay, another good question here. How do you nurture your child's social development? Make sure they are enrolled in a lot of programs outside the home. So over the past 12 years, my kids have been for soccer, they've been for martial arts, they've been for swimming classes, they've been for youth camps, they go for teenage halakas. So they are involved in the community, right? They are part of the community. They have friends, they have social circles, they have people they met with and studied with and learned with. So homeschooling doesn't mean keeping your child at home 24/7. It doesn't mean cutting them off from the world. It doesn't mean they have no interaction with other people and other children. No, you will have to take the initiative to set up these things for them, right? Enroll them in sports, enroll them in art classes, enroll them in Islamic classes, enroll them in these things, and they will develop their own social circles in this way. You don't have to go to school to learn how to socialize. There are many other ways to do so. Humans have been socializing since the beginning of time, and school's only been around for 200 years. For all those other generations, they figured it out on their own, right? It's not like schools. Primary purpose is to teach you how to socialize. If anything, when we're in school, our teachers shout at us and tell us, you're not here to socialize, you're here to learn. Right? That's what they tell us when we're in school. So, yeah, set up these extracurricular activities for them, and they will have a healthy social circle while being homeschooled. Okay, Marsha, there's a lot of good questions. How much time do we have? I might go a bit over time because there's a lot of good questions. I hope that's fine with the organizers. Okay. How does homeschooling become beneficial to the child if parents do not have the level edge of education to teach? So, I didn't mention this. Another benefit of homeschooling is that you grow through the process, you learn through the process, you become a better person through the process. And what you will find is that teaching a child for the first 5 or 6 or 7 years of homeschooling is easy. Like really, the first 5, 6, 7 years is easy. After that, you have online schools, you have private tutors, you have YouTube videos, you have online courses. There are many ways to supplement your own level of learning. If you are teaching your child and you come across a module of science or maths that you don't understand, guess what? You and your kids can watch a YouTube video about it and learn about it together. You could do an online course about it and learn about it together. So it becomes an enriching experience for you. You gain knowledge through this. You bond with your children by studying together and learning together. And as Muslims, we should be continuously growing in knowledge. So we shouldn't use our lack of knowledge as a reason not to get involved. Rather, we should use this as a way for us to learn and grow with our children, right? Think of this as an intellectual journey for yourself, that you and your children are going to learn about the deen and the world together. You're going to teach them whatever you know. And whenever you come across something that you don't understand, you can learn about it together. And we live in a time with these resources for everything. Almost anything you don't understand, there's some uncle on YouTube who explains it. That's the world we live in. So don't be worried about this. There's many ways around this. Okay, any resources to prepare parents for homeschooling? That's what our upcoming course is, right? Al-Balagh Academy has a course starting soon on homeschooling mastery to teach you how to homeschool. I also have a course on this topic on my website, islamicselfhelp.com, called How to Homeschool Like a Pro. I have a book on this topic called Homeschooling 101. And there are many other resources out there as well. There's a lot of good resources on homeschooling. Many, many books have been written on this topic, many online courses, many video series. It's really becoming quite big all around the world, not just amongst Muslims, even amongst non-Muslims, even amongst the elite of the non-Muslims. People are beginning to realize that the school system is broken, it's outdated, it's not working, and many people are looking for solutions. And homeschooling, honestly, when I started homeschooling, it wasn't popular at all. People thought I was crazy. And now all those same people come to me for advice for homeschooling. Like, the world's changed a lot in the past decade. It has changed a lot. And homeschooling is a lot more socially acceptable today than it was a decade ago. So you will find many resources for it online. Okay, let's see what else. Okay, so someone asked about names of Islamic online schools. I don't want to do that because if I mention some names, I forget others, and I don't want to make any Islamic schools angry. So I'll simply say, do your research. Every country has their own schools. Every country has their own school systems that are available. It may be that there's a nice online Islamic school, but it's not available in the country that you're living in. Right. So that's another reason why I don't want to answer this question live online. Parents are not experts in every field. How can they teach their children about every necessary subject? Like I think I answered this already from a different person. Right. You can learn, you can outsource, you can hire a tutor for that subject. You could study an online course together for that subject. You could watch a YouTube series. You could put them in an online school. There are many different ways to work around this. Every family figures out their own way, but it's not the end of the world. There's always ways to move forward with this. How feasible is homeschooling if both parents are working? It's very difficult. This is why I only recommend homeschooling if at least one parent is at home, right? If either your mom is a stay-at-home mom, or she's working from home, or if dad's working from home, if there's some way for someone to be at home, focused on the kids, then that's the best way to homeschool. But if both mom and dad are working and they're both stressed out and they're both tired, then I don't see homeschooling being feasible for that family. Okay, I'm just going to take two more questions and then we're done. Okay, this is a very important question. I'm going to read the question out loud. It's very important. It really deals with the masculinity crisis in our community. So the question says, many of my clients want to homeschool, and it would be great if Al-Balagh could direct a course for men or fathers to show the importance of homeschooling and creating ease in family life. All the men in Scotland push their wives to work and constantly push to look after family, that they are all exhausted. The role of men is diminishing here in relationships, but you attend mosques, lectures, all they discuss is the rights of the husband. Okay, so there's two sides to this. I guess the different countries have different problems here. But men are supposed to provide, they're supposed to protect. Because in Islam, the role of a mother in raising her children, that's supposed to be her most important duty. That a woman's single most important duty in life after worshipping Allah is raising her children. This is why the status of the mother is higher than the status of the father. This is why Jannah lies under the mother's feet, because she has a very important responsibility in raising children. And the role of the father is to facilitate that, to make it easy for his wife to focus on raising the children by taking care of all of the financial responsibilities. So men are supposed to build themselves up to a level where they can provide for their families, they can handle the bills, they can take care of the finances. So the wives don't have to think about this at all, and they can focus primarily on raising the children and making their house into a beautiful home. And modernity has ruined this, right? Modernity has ruined this by asking men and women both to work and outsourcing parenting to nannies and daycare and schools. It has really ruined us. And for us to take back this power and for us to reclaim this privilege of homeschooling and being stay-at-home moms, the men also have to man up and find ways to earn better, find ways to finance their families better. Men should not be asking their wives to work. Really, a Muslim man should not be doing this. As for saying the lectures in the masjid all about the rights of husbands, I don't know where you live. I've had the opposite problem. But nonetheless, I think what we do need here, what I think would be a solution to this, and this is something I am working on and many other people are working on, is we need courses and books on masculinity to teach Muslim men how to be men, because this generation have forgotten how to be men. This generation are very effeminate. They are very laid back, very childish, and they need to man up. Really, a man will not push his wife to work. A man will take care of the emotional needs of his wife so that she is available for the children, that she can focus primarily on the children. So what would be the solution here? I think a good course of masculinity can help fix this, so that men become more aware of their role as qawwam. Qawwam means you are the leader of the home, but it also means you are the provider and the protector of the home. And they are personality traits that men need to have to succeed at all three levels. So that's an important question, and that's a solution. Allah knows best. Will the child be missing in some practical subjects in school, at the high school, for example, chemistry practical? I mean, that's something you can emulate at home. There's different ways to do that. I know some communities, one family would set up like a lab at home and other families would send their children there to study. Others would just buy experiment kits and do things at home. Either do things in the garden. It's not necessary that you have to completely miss out. Many of these things, you can just order them on Amazon and have the whole thing delivered to your house, and you can set up these things in a room in your home or in your garden, and then you don't end up missing out, right? So there are ways to work around this. Okay, last question, because we are gone over time. Let's see, which is the most important question here? There are a lot of good questions. I feel bad to leave everyone's questions, but okay, there's a question I get asked all the time. Is there any kind of curriculum or syllabus to follow for homeschooling? Sadly, I would say no. There's no specific curriculum that I would suggest, simply because every curriculum has their pros and cons. Every curriculum is good at something, and in other areas it can be better. As for adab or akhlaq, there are many books available depending on your child's level. So if you go online, you will find there are books on Islamic manners for like 5, 6 year olds. They are like coloring books or rhymes, or they're written in very simple and fun ways. Those are excellent ways to teach adab and akhlaq at that age. When they get older, the book I like to teach them when they are teenagers, and I actually teach this to my community, my local halaqa as well, is Imam Bukhari's Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, right? Imam Bukhari's Book of Manners. So most people know about Imam Bukhari's Sahih. That's his most famous book. But his other hadith book is all about manners. I did say a different hadith book written by Imam Bukhari that's all about manners. And for teenagers and young adults, this is, to me, the best book to study on that topic. Another way to teach them adab and akhlaq is to teach them the seerah. teach them the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, teach them the lives of the Sahaba, so that these become their role models, these become the people they emulate, these are the people they learn their character and manners and iman from, and this will be an important part of your curriculum. But as for specific curriculums, like you say, do this one or that one, I can't really say that, because, you know, I myself, I mix and match. I may take a history curriculum from one school and take a Aqidah curriculum from a different school and a fiqh curriculum from another school. And now I've reached a point where I just teach them the primary text myself. I just teach my children directly from hadith books and fiqh books instead of using a curriculum, because they're older and they're able to understand the primary text. So yeah, that's the main reason why I don't follow a specific curriculum. But I do have a layout, which I do teach in this course, of what you should teach them at each age, right? I have a layout that for each age of development, what you should be teaching your child. Like from 3 to 5, you focus on adab wa akhlaq and how to speak and how to write, the basic of language and learning their numbers. And then I have like from 6 to 9, you teach them basic fiqh and aqidah and some hadith and things like, and how to recite Quran with tajweed. And then from 10 to 12, you teach them deeper aqidah, Islamic history. You go more in-depth into fiqh. And then like for teenagers, you teach them about marriage. You teach them about puberty. You teach them about the major sins, about the fiqh of business. So I do have this layout. I'm not sure if I have it available publicly anywhere online. If not, I'll try to set it up later this week. But that's a general guidelines. As for specific in terms of what books you will use and what curriculums you use, I don't have that laid out anywhere. Khair, we have gone over time with this. And there's a lot of important questions here. So, see, there's one question here about how do we convince your in-laws? Really, your in-laws don't have any say in how you educate your children. I hate to say that, right? But it's true. When I started homeschooling, nobody in my family supported it. Everyone thought I was mad. Really, the whole family did. My uncles, aunts, in-laws, nobody could understand what they're doing. I don't care. I'm doing what I believe is most pleasing to Allah, right? It's not their business how I raise my children. I mean, they themselves, not like all their children turned out perfect, right? So it's not like I have to do things their way. You be well-mannered, you be polite about it. But one of the things Muslims need to learn in this generation is to be assertive while maintaining family ties. So you have to be assertive about certain things. If you want to homeschool your kids and be assertive about it. But let other people know, these are my kids, this is our choice, and we believe this is what is best for them. And that's that. That's the end of it. It's very important for Muslims to learn to be assertive. Otherwise, other people will bully us around and they will dictate how we live our lives. And if we do that, then we will not end up accomplishing what we need to do. Hey, with that, we come to the end of this discussion. I hope that you have all found this beneficial. And I hope I've convinced some of you to look into homeschooling, or at least to consider it, to have the discussion with your spouse and to see if it's a viable option for you. Alhamdulillah, we have this course coming up, and I hope to see many of you in that course. Jazakallah khairan for giving me your time and attention on a Sunday. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.